Welcome to Rock That Relationship, a podcast about all things relationship with Corey and Tracy.
Now let's get real and start creating relationships that rock.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Rock That Relationship. We are in a season all about soulmates, and today's episode is really exciting because we have a guest on, and we're going to be talking about myths of soulmates. So we have Marcy Hardy on today, and we're going to hear from Marcy all about, you know, what kind of work you do and all that fun stuff and your ideas and thoughts about myths of soulmates. It was interesting because, Marcy, I came across your article that you had written on this idea of can you have multiple soulmates? But really, there was a section in there about misconceptions of soulmates. And I thought, oh, this is so fascinating. Mm-hmm. So, Marcy, welcome to the show. Maybe tell us a little bit about your background. What do you do? How did you get interested in soulmates? Just tell us your story.
Okay. Yeah, no, awesome. So I have been a coach and counselor for the last 20 years, and I always want to help my clients dive deeper. And when I experienced hypnosis a few years ago, I was like, oh yeah, this is it. Like, we need to add this in. And it's been a game changer. It bypasses like cognitive resistance so that you can get into the subconscious where real change happens. And there's so much information that the subconscious can tell you that no coach or counselor could ever tell you. And it's so amazing that like people always love to hear what other people think or get advice, but it's something else when they get that advice from themselves. So yeah, so I went all in on the hypnosis front for coaching and counseling, and now it's what I do most. And I specialize in more of the spiritual side, so past life regression, future progression, and then like getting in touch with your higher self, spirit guides, all that good stuff. And you asked about soulmates. So, I mean, let's be honest, soul, spiritual. And there is a very big misconception about soulmates because it's, you know, what people love to talk about in the media and the society and everything about, oh, I just want to meet my soulmate or this person's my soulmate. But it may not all be romantic.
Oh, yeah. Especially like all the Hollywood portrayals of everything, right? It's like, yeah, you find a soulmate, you're set for life. It's like what you're looking for. I mean, and that's funny because I just released this book called The Soulmate Strategy, which was my 1-year quest to find my soulmate. And it was really kind of, I don't know, it was a great journey. That's all I have to say. It was a great journey, but it's, sure. So let's talk a little bit more about that.
Yeah. So most people think their soulmate is the partner they're supposed to be with for their entire life. And it's the one that speaks to their soul like no one else can. And it's the one person that they are meant to be with. The thing is that it's not really what a soulmate is. So a soulmate is anyone who can tap into the soul and help them evolve and grow. And sometimes that doesn't mean it's going to be the same person your entire life. It could be for only a season of their lives. And it's, you know, we all come here with a soul contract. And before we make that soul contract, we get with people and we say, you're going to help me grow in this area. And you're going to come into my life in this way. And in that moment in time, that person is your soulmate because you made that connection before you came in here into this incarnation. So, but it is the unpopular opinion because of the fact that Hollywood has made soulmate into this big romantic lust and undying quest, right, for the perfect partner in life, which makes sense. And I'm not saying that that is not right. And yes, it completely can be someone that you are romantically involved with and that person stays with you your entire life, but it doesn't always have to be.
But it can be.
Right. But it can be. Good.
Well, I'm glad you said that before I became apoplectic because I'm into the whole, that's it. This is it.
I mean, you know, and there's so many different factors involved. And I know you've done some, you know, some episodes on past life regression and past lives and all that jazz. And there is part of it that, yeah, some people even say, it's like, I've known this person my entire life, but I just met them. Or I feel like I've been with this person multiple lifetimes, if they believe in multiple lifetimes. And yeah, it's true. You have, and you may not have been that person's partner right. in those other lifetimes. You could have been that person's mother, father, brother, sister. And guess what? Still your soulmate. There's mating. Like, there's still mating going on, and not the, you know, mating as in breeding.
Right, so
just the connection.
Can you, you're talking about the idea of soulmates can come in for like a season, like you're supposed to learn something from someone and then maybe they vanish. And we've kind of explored this idea of like the karmic partner or the twin flame or people that are coming in for kind of various, very specific, sometimes incredibly, you know, tumultuous ways in and out,
yes.
but maybe as a soul contract and then they disappear. What is your take on like karmic partners and twin flames and what you're supposed to learn from them with the soul contract?
They all have a purpose, and that purpose was identified way before they can't, like, we've come to Earth. And as difficult and as challenging and as horrible as those relationships are, they are some of the most growth opportunities you will ever experience. And that is the whole point for them. And it's not even for this lifetime. It can be right. for, like, if you started something, some sort of relationship in a past life, and that relationship did not complete, as in the lesson was not learned, guess what's going to happen in another lifetime? That lesson's coming back. And it may be from that person, or it may be from another, but most of the time, it is from that person, whether it's the same type of relationship or a different relationship, it's coming back. And mm-hmm. that's where people get that intuitive feeling inside of them that there's a weird connection between them that they can't right. explain, and that they need, even if that relationship is toxic, it's like they need to find out why. And that's what actually what I help people do is find out why. I've had many people come to me and be like, I don't understand what it is with me in this relationship, but I feel like I need to know so I know what to do so I can get out of this. Because right. I don't want to keep reliving it over and over again. And they're talking about this life, and it could be life after life at this point. So yeah, so there it is. That's the reason why. I mean, you to let go of that karma, and you know, we could go on that path too, because karma's got a lot of misconceptions too. It's not always a bad thing. It's just something that you're meant to learn. So yeah, it's hard, but it's needed, and it's one of the best things that will happen to you, as much as you don't want to face that.
Yeah. Well, when you think about, like you were saying, that these soulmates can come in for like a season, can you have multiple soulmates at once that are teaching you different lessons, some maybe more poignant than others?
I mean, anything's possible in your soul contract. Obviously, there are situations where you have to grow from one before you can actually go into another one. But mm-hmm. yeah, I mean, anything's possible. But I have a feeling and a hunch that that one is going to be like, if you have two at the same time, one's going to be in waiting. Because there's only so much we can handle. Mm-hmm. So even though that other one may be like in the distance, maybe that person's just like an acquaintance at that point, right? But, and then you have another one that you're dealing with, another person. Once that relationship has, you know, seen its course, then mm-hmm. that other person may come into play to be like, here I am. Guess what? It's time to play. You're on to the next lesson. But I mean, that's what happens with people who are in relationships and they have more than one love interest. Like, why do they have more than one love interest? Well, You always figure it out in the end. Like, what were you supposed to learn from that one person that helped you with the second person? Or what mistakes did you make with the second person because of that first person? So you never know. Like, what if that was like some sort of third three-way connection that was like, this is what you're going to learn with two of us coming into play? So it's very interesting and complex, and it's way too complex for, the whole soulmate, whatever, like the reality that people have for it. The ones that are like, yay, it's just that one person, and I'm gonna be with that one person. The problem with that, though, is going off on a tangent, is how devastating is it when you think it's you have your soulmate right in front of you, and you're meant to be with that one person for the rest of your life, and then you find out that person is not really meant for you forever. Like, you go separate ways, and you're like, oh, that must have not been my soulmate. That's, yeah, probably was,
Well,
but.
it's interesting if people can pivot. I guess it's how they would think of it. But let's say you are with somebody that you just want to be with forever. Like, is that a soulmate or is that just like, you know what I mean? I think it could be any of those things. But yeah, I guess the pain point would come in for people if they're like constantly searching, right? And I think that's where their suffering then comes in, or their like endless quest. Like, I mean, I probably was a more Hollywood kind of believer back when I was, my teens or 20s, right? But then now, like, I do have like everything I've ever wanted.
Oh.
Yeah, thank you. And I don't want to come back to this earth. I just want us to float somewhere after, like on
Yeah.
a cloud and never come back here. And I don't know if you know about me and Corey, but we've been told we keep coming back to learn lessons, and Corey wants to come back here and I do not. And I found like my person, and I just want me and that person to be far away from this crazy, insane asylum that we live in.
You do. In the human experience, you do. Although your soul may have other plans for you,
Yeah, well, can we
which is
talk to that
something you could
soul? I know.
explore.
Yeah, how do you do that? How do we do that?
I mean, you through hypnosis, you can definitely tap into your soul and even talk to your soul to find out, well, that's where life purpose comes from, and all the lessons that you're meant to learn. And obviously, you're only going to tap into what you're meant to know at this point, because you're not meant to know what you're going to do like 10, 20 years ago. It's going to be whatever you meant now. But like what you said about, you and Corey being, coming back over and over again, you guys are soulmates. But then you said you have your soulmate. Well, guess what? You just proved having two soulmates at the same time.
Well, Corey and I like to call it, what do we call it? Like soul tie. Like we have a
Soul
contract, like
partners.
this,
Yeah.
yeah,
Like,
soul
oh, yeah, soul partner.
ties.
Soul
Yeah.
partners.
Okay.
And then
Well,
we,
say
yeah.
I like to say it that way because in my mind, a soulmate is a romantic love. Like I have only one and I'm married to her currently. So and I've been in karmic relationships. I've been in some doozies
Oh, yeah.
that I did learn from, right? And like where Corey's like, what are you doing? And I'm like, I don't know, but I have to keep doing it. It's so hideous, but I had to keep doing it. But now, like, so I feel that I'm in perfection, right? So I keep telling the universe, this is where I want to stay. This is what I want to happen after I die. And I've told Corey explicitly, and I keep telling her, like, our agreement to keep coming back here. I said she can come visit us up there, but I'm done. And Corey's like, I want to come back and learn some more. And I'm like, no, nope. We had it, so I'm gonna cut it. So Corey and I are gonna have to hire a professional cutter. But like, I want to cut our
Yes.
agreement. It's done now. Maybe this was the last one, And that's why I feel that way too. It's like, I'm done with this. I do not want to be here.
You might be right. If you feel deep down inside that that is like you're done, you may be done.
Yeah, interesting.
And but there are specialists to cut those ties, like
Yeah.
soul
Well, don't cut
contract
them
ties.
yet. We're
Well,
like super
no, we
good
don't. Yeah,
friends.
that
Not
I
yet.
know. I'm
I
just
know.
saying.
No, I said it.
Some
I'm the one.
point.
I know I'm the one who said it. But it is true. I have been like, ever since I had to articulate everything to the universe, I'm getting what I want. So I'm happy to have Corey come visit us, but
It's not like a vacation home. It's not like you're at an Airbnb and I'm going to swing by in my soul incarnation. And be
in
like,
between your vibes, you can stop by and say hi to us while we're living the good life up there. And that's kind of like my whole vision. I keep watching these movies. I don't know if you saw Eternity. It's Apple. And a couple things were, and there's a book called Elsewhere. It's a young adult novel, but it's, I don't know if you've read that, but I keep finding these things in life after life. They just show up on the TV, like, and I watch them. And then I'm like, that's not the vision I want, because the people are kind of challenged and they are given options once they're dead. But like, I think like, in order to survive in this physical realm of where we are in this earth, like for me, it's like, I have to vision, this is what I want. And like, I'm sticking with that. Like, you know, I hope I'm right. Or I hope I get what I'm asking for.
Yeah. And I mean, you're in the relationship you're in now, you're probably still learning. So it's not as if it's like, you know, stagnant and you're not getting anything from it.
Right.
So yeah. And you might be right. That might be the one. But, and it's all about what you call it. Just like you said, soul ties, soulmate, soul connections. I mean, we could play the synonym game, but.
Right.
And it's all about the meaning that you attach to it. It really is. It's just language.
And what it does for you. And I wonder for you with the work that you do is like helping people to find peace in this world. Because I've been at, you know, various times. I mean, a lot of chaos and tumultuousness in my life, you know, leading up to now, but then being in the happiest place personally, but with my perspective on what is happening in the world that we live in, how, I mean, a couple months ago, or it wasn't even that long ago, I was so depressed. I barely was talking to anybody. I told my wife, like, I just can't, like, and it's not like I need to cut off the news, but I can't, how can I be happy when I'm not helping? But how can any of us help enough, right? So then I did turn that inward and said, I just have to find the happiness in the daily life. And and I feel like that's what you do. That's what we have. Both Corey and I worked with an astrologer that we know, and we've had her on the show a couple of times. Like, my friend was like, you are spending so much money talking to the astrologer and your therapist and this and that. I said, yeah, but it's making me a happier human being. And like, what are we here for? You know, what is our purpose here on this earth, if not to like find peace? I feel like that's why we're here. Maybe I'm wrong, but you know.
Like, just look at it this way. In a room full of darkness, if you are that light and I'm that light and Corey's that light, how much more light is there in that room full of darkness? Right. And that's where we're going with this. Like, you know, happiness is within. But that happiness within is shared amongst many. Just think about like people who walk around miserable and how miserable they make other people just because they're miserable.
Exactly.
But when we walk around being happy, how happy do we make other people?
And
you can't make everybody happy, but I mean, it's more than what a miserable person's going to do.
It's about the vibe that you put out, right? I mean,
the energy.
I used to be that miserable person just because I was so, I did not know how to deal with, I'm vegan. I find the world to be, you know, horrible and that everybody isn't. And like all the awful things that happen to people. And I couldn't deal with it any other way than being like a crankpot. But now I'm totally different and I'm just happy internally. And it's interesting because I was playing pickleball last night. I play with a friend and we have so much fun. And we played a couple and they are so fun and we had a great time. And then we started playing with a guy who was playing with another guy. I don't think they knew each other very well, but I played with the one guy and he's always angry. He's always angry at himself. He's always angry at nobody that you can tell. He's like annoyed with the partner not doing well enough. He's annoyed with himself. So even when you play with him, and my partner, Alan, was like, it's okay. We're going to switch people after this. And he could tell, like, it just bummed me out. Like that whole, it, like if we're playing a game, dude.
I know.
It's a game with a ball.
I know. Did you even see me? Like, I had to take a deep breath as you were talking about it because I'm like, ugh.
Like, yeah, like it's just
having
really
fun.
Yeah.
Well, and this guy probably does this in every arena of his life. That's the thing.
Right.
He's probably upset at work. He's probably upset at home. And it's like you have to choose to live that way or not. Yeah. And you know, that happiness and even some sense of peace is your choice. It's your
and
choice.
And it really affects the people around you. So then my partner and I would just keep looking at each other and focusing. And he's like, look at me, focus on me. And because he could tell that, like, the vibe. And, you know, a lot of that does remind me of stuff I grew up with. And I'm just like, ugh, I don't want it around me anymore. And Corey and I talk about this all the time, only having higher vibration people around. Because it does, it like brings you down. Even if you're trying to help, if you're trying to help and be a helper, then you put up your walls.
Right.
And I was talking to my wife about that this morning because she works at a hospital. And I think hospital workers in particular just get drained. All that, all those people's negative, some of it just people are negative coming at them, having to spend so much time with these people who maybe just can't. I mean, maybe it's true, like awful suffering, but some people are just, they just don't deal with life well. And they, like, when you're in the hospital with them, you're kind of trapped.
Yeah.
And they're just talking at you. And I feel like in a room, you're just, you know, so for healthcare workers, I do, you know, I've seen that in the past also with people I've been with. It just, it really wears on people. And it's like, you want to do a good job. You want to be a helper, but how can you be the helper and how can you find your happiness, but also keep, you know?
I know. And that's, you know, just like you just said with that guy, like that was a learning lesson for you and your friend. Like, you know, just experiencing that makes you think, wow, okay, that's something I definitely don't want to put out there into the world.
Yeah.
Because that's what is causing us to run away. And that's the one, it's what's causing us to be depressed or many people just like that person. And, you know, it pains me because I'm like, if there's just something that could help him change, like maybe a compliment or just, I don't even know, something to just flip the switch on him.
Yeah.
Could make all the difference in that experience that you had.
And more fun. And that's the thing that Alan and I try to be fun. And then the other people aren't. And then we just, oh my gosh, move along. But I appreciate that couple we were playing with that first are always fun. But like, when people are coming to you, so I used to be a cop, then I quit being a cop, and then I worked at REI, and I was like, oh my God, REI is awesome. Everyone's coming in just to go on vacation. They're buying vacation clothes. They're looking fun. And so I feel like with your job, like the only people coming to you are people who truly want, they're seeking, right? Like they're not coming and like, oh, I don't want to do this and bringing their negativity. Like they're searching positive, like I'm doing this to better my life, I assume. Is that the case?
Yes. But with the hypnosis part, a lot of them are anxious, nervous, and a little scared because of the portrayal. Just like with the soulmates, the portrayal of hypnosis is scary.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, because of Hollywood, again, here we are. but, you know, they are. They're the seekers. They're the ones who want to improve their lives. You know, they're the ones who want to take a deep look into themselves. And sometimes they'll do anything that it takes. And that's what makes the hypnosis okay to them. Mm-hmm. Of course, I also have the people who meditate all the time, who are already in that space. So then they're a lot more amped to do, like, you know, to be like, oh, yeah, let's do it. Let's see how deep we can really get. But you'd be surprised at the number of people that come in and are just like, I had someone come to me, and this is on the soulmate level. And she was asking if hypnosis could help her forget, completely forget a past love interest.
Oh, wow.
Like she didn't want to think about him ever again, like never enter her mind again.
Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, that movie.
Yeah. And I'm like, unfortunately, no, because that would probably be illegal. So,
I love Adam.
But I could help you understand what it is that is causing you deep down, because we all know why she wanted to think about that person over and over again. But there's also a deep down reason that is keeping her hooked to that man.
Mm-hmm.
And we could explore that and find out. And once you face it and deal with it, those feelings would likely disappear. And then guess what? he wouldn't be in your mind anymore.
Exactly, right? Like the real more ethical, real feasible and healing way to do that versus just programming someone to forget it.
Here.
Exactly.
Which also would then open her up for her life, right? To allow somebody else in without stop obsessing about some past person.
Right. Yeah. He's taking up space.
How many people tie themselves up to somebody in their past? And that keeps them completely blind to anything else.
Like on a soul level, is that because there's still unfinished business or is that just like mental cognitive lack of processing? I mean, what is really the cause for people to get stuck in those situations?
Oh, it's both. It's both. But that cognitive processing is what's the block towards learning that lesson. So that's the other thing that I'm doing with people is that if we can bypass like the ego mind and the, you know, the conscious part of your mind, and we can get into the subconscious where the real issues lie, then you can face that and you can heal that through clarity and insight without dealing with, you know, the ego mind that's like trying to protect you from being traumatized again or feeling the things that you're feeling because he didn't call you back or didn't text you fast enough or, you know, all these other reasons that keep getting plummeted into your mind when you're trying to process the reason why you can't be with that person, you know? So,
because that's like, isn't that like, I mean, I think that's where all these modalities help, therapy, hypnosis, you know, psychic, Akashic reader, like all that, because I had an incident yesterday where I was screaming at a man at like 5:20 in the morning who approached me in the dark. I had my dogs. Like we live in a rural area. He should not have been anywhere near me. And immediately I just felt it. I yelled at him. I screamed at him, get away from me, stay away from me. And it was like a situation where, why would you approach? It was weird. Right. And I immediately like reacted. And my wife and I were talking about that this morning. Like, she's like, you never second guess yourself. Like every time you have an instinct, you're not like second guessing. You're not feeling bad. I mean, maybe he wanted to talk about the lunar eclipse. Maybe he wanted to pet my dogs, but why are you doing that at 5:20 in the morning at dark? And I don't feel bad. I don't feel bad. And I think like that's a lot of the stuff that happens to us in life, not obsessing about what happened. And it took me many, many, many years and many bad situations to realize that. And, you know, I think that that's like when I really started working with the astrologer was like, learn what you're supposed to learn and then move on. That's, I think, the hardest thing for a human to do.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Absolutely. Yes.
To not keep looking back and feeling bad.
Yes. But what an amazing lesson to learn when you can do that.
Right. It really frees you up.
Oh,
I mean, I feel like I'm so much freer and so much happier. And I was walking and thinking, is it because I'm older? Because I'm 55 now? Is it because, but I could have gone to 55 without doing all these things, but I've been doing therapy for years. I've been doing all these other spiritual things. And I really feel like it just adds to life.
Yeah.
Like, you know?
Yeah. And you know, you're tapping into the whole intuition thing. And, you know, back in the day when, you know, hunters and gatherers, that was all they relied on. Was their intuition. But what happened as the years went on, as the decades and the centuries, intuition was like covered and pushed down and invalidated. And so like everybody has learned to ignore their intuition when that's the one thing that used to keep people alive. Just like you said, you felt like you needed to scream and you screamed no matter who was around, no matter what anyone thought. Didn't matter. Even if that guy thought that you were like, you know,
nuts,
whatever.
Yeah, right.
So, but that's the way it used to be. And that's the way where we need to get to now. We need to go back and really
get in touch,
go according to our intuition. Yeah.
Right. Well, because
that's what saves us.
I wonder if in some ways, when you're talking about hypnosis, I mean, a lot of times that takes us to places where we let go of the ego mind that is also squashing that intuition. If we were able to be in more, not a hypnotic state, but be more in the state of openness that hypnosis often gets us to, we'd allow our intuition to come through more and we'd be able to connect. Because as we talk about soulmates, right, we talk about people we're drawn to for some reason. There's also those things where it's like stranger danger. Like I've had intuition on the other end of it where I'm like, this is not a person I'm supposed to be interacting with. I need to get out of this situation. I have a soul, not a draw, but a repel, right? Like a repulsion. So that's some of the things I've seen.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. Absolutely. And what about the ones who ignore that?
Right. Look what happens. I mean, I was a cop, so I read all this crime stuff and I'm like, oh my God, if they just did this one thing, this would have not happened. Like they could have drawn other people's attention, gotten help, whatever. It's like over and over you see this. And I do think, like, do you remember, maybe you're not even old enough to know when the tsunami happened in Southeast Asia. She doesn't look old enough to know this. There was a
Oh, don't worry,
tsunami
I am.
in 2004. And all those people, the Sri Lankans who'd been living it, like they forgot all that their ancestors had taught them, right? So when the water receded, the fish were flopping on the sand, the people and children ran to it and they've forgotten, no, this is a bad sign, get out of here, right? And I remember from Thailand, and I'd been on some of this island that had been decimated, right? I was there earlier. And like, the only people who remembered or knew this was because they'd taken a science class. And so I feel like we keep, as we progress as a society and we get more and more technological, more distracted, more this, it's like this, we lose this connection. And I want to ask you, do you think that when people go into a state of hypnosis, or is that similar to like using mushrooms and stuff? Are these totally opposites? Like, I don't want to use. I was gonna do ayahuasca, and then I was told by my psychic, don't do it, it's gonna be really bad for you. So I want to do something that's not drug or substance using. But I do want to get deeper, even deeper. So do you think they serve similar purposes?
So I have also researched ayahuasca and I was going to do it. And then also mushrooms. They're both still on the, on the plate there.
Right.
But yes. So that's just the easy way to access your higher mind, your intuition, all the things, right? Hypnosis and meditation take some work. I mean, it's a lot more effort. You take these, substances and you lay down and the work's done for you, whether you like it or not after you do it. It's just gonna happen. But actually, there is still a block though, but I mean, that's another thing. But with hypnosis and meditation, and I'll say, meditation takes more work than hypnosis does. With hypnosis, if you do it the first time, it's a little harder than the next time. And then the next time you do, so you get better at it, you'll go deeper every time, and it'll take you less time to get there. So, yes. And as you do it more and more, and of course, you can do hypnosis and then do meditation a lot to like kind of try to get yourself back. I just had a client yesterday who was like, I meditate all the time, but this was a fast track to a deeper stage than I ever get with meditation. But the thing is when he goes in to do meditation again, I'm pretty sure he'll be even deeper in his meditation. So it almost unlocks the door for you to access that level of depthness. And then the better you get at it, the more easier it is in your daily life to access it. Like for me, I can just sit here, close my eyes, and be like, okay, I'm tapped in. What are we doing here? Like
Interesting. Wow.
what am I trying to figure out? So that's where it gets to though. And there's an element of trust. You've got to trust yourself. There's a lot of people who tap in that walk away like, I just made that up. Like, that's a complete made up thing that I did. The things I was thinking of, the images I had, they were just my imagination. Well, guess what? I hate to tell you this, but your subconscious communicates through those things. So it's not like the difference is if you sit here and you say, I'm going to think about this. Now, how would I plan to think about that? Like, I would first think about a tree, then a bird. No, that's you making it up. When things just kind of unfold inside of your mind, no, that's coming from somewhere. And
Well,
when you're under hypnosis, it's not consciousness.
you know what? It's interesting you say that because I was just having a conversation last night with my partner about this. I had a past life regression in May of 2022, so we're talking like 4 years ago. And I remember all these like past life things came to me as just, I mean, just boom. It was like I was in the scene of a movie. And I told her last night, I said, if those were just visions I was making up, I wouldn't have as stark of an image right this minute, I said last night, right this minute, I can tell you what the lantern on the wooden table looked like and what the creak of the wooden floor sounded like, because they were memories, not because they were visions. If I had made it up, I probably wouldn't be able to remember some fleeting scene that I made up. Those are memories that are coming from somewhere. And I was under hypnosis for that.
Yep. And feelings. You probably had feelings too.
Yep. I remember.
And a lot of people start crying. Like, why would you cry over something? Of course, if you imagine something horrible or very depressing and sad, you're going to cry. But some people cry over just seeing someone, like a soulmate. Right. Like, sometimes that person will come in and I'll be like, so does that person resonate with you? Is that person familiar to anyone that you know in this this incarnation? And they will start crying and be like, yes, that's my husband.
Yeah. And that actually happened to me. I saw one of my lives. I drove off of a bridge, a single lane bridge. Another car was coming and I drove off and I drowned. I saw myself. I literally pulled myself out of my body. I saw it. It was devastating. I was very upset by it. But in that lifetime, I was married to someone and I couldn't see their face and all of the kind of the scenes that were coming into my head until I witnessed my funeral. And then I realized it was someone that I did believe and still do believe today that I have some type of a soul connection with or a soul tie. And I remember all I kept saying was, I'm so sorry that I left you so soon. And tears are coming down my face. And so I've tried to figure out what my unfinished business is with this person for many years now. What is it? And I felt like I left too soon. And so I'm really invested in it. We just have a friendship, but I'm really invested in our friendship because I feel like some way it's unfinished. I don't want to leave too soon again. I obviously made some kind of a negative impact and now I don't want to leave. And so I remember I'm just bawling my eyes out. Why would I do that if I made that up?
I know. It's unbelievable. I love it so much. Even after all these years, I'm like, oh my gosh, every session is amazing to me. It's just, I love it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, getting back to your article that you wrote, I'm fascinated by some of the myths. We talked about a couple of them kind of along the way, this idea of this sort of Hollywood vision of a soulmate or, you know, what the purpose of a soulmate is. But what are some of the other myths that people carry and what are the impacts of those myths on them in trying to navigate their life by holding these sort of myths of soulmates?
So like, you know, you mentioned the karma, right? So, you know, people think that there's some sort of karma attached to soulmates. And usually that karma is negative because everybody's like, you'll get your karma, you know, karma's real. but, you know, it's not always about that. It might be something like, so my husband and I firmly believe I had a past life and he was also my husband and he was not very nice to me, as if he was abusive. Wow. And, you know, in this lifetime, I am positive that he is here to fix that karma. So he's much nicer to me now and he's very careful about doing anything wrong or anything like that. And I'm kind of like, what is going on? Until I had that experience where I was like, oh, that makes a lot of sense. So, you know, a soulmate's not just there to, you know, agree with everything that you need in your life. It's much more of a partnership in a contractual way, but with the soul. So, you know, like back up there, you know, he was probably like, come on, let me make it up to you. And I was like, oh God. You know,
I was going to say, you're like a willing participant at some point to come back and do
that. You know? Yeah. I'm like, okay. But he's like, you know, it has to be you because I did this wrong to you. So now, you know, I've got to make it up to you. So, you know, it's a lot like that. So, uncovering that and saying, you know, looking at your, I think this would be good for people to walk away with, like, look at your partner or, and then we should get to the point, to the topic about people who are always looking for their soulmate. But, you know, looking at your partner and being like, what are we meant here to do together? Like, what is the true lesson for us right now? Because asking that question can throw the perspective of what a soulmate is like completely around. Mm-hmm. Like, I love you. That's awesome. We're great together. We have fun. You know, we do things. We love each other, blah, blah, blah. But really, what are we supposed to be showing each other?
Do we have to be learning something every time we're on this earth?
Oh, not every time. And it's all like free will. Mm-hmm. So, you know, but I mean, if you think about it, everything is every day, every person.
I know. So everyone has an issue. My closest friends have an issue with my career path, right? And so I felt since I was very young that my only purpose here in this lifetime is relationship stuff. So I was a police officer. I'm an attorney. I don't care. I don't do anything with that. And I don't care. And it perplexes other people. It really bugs them. And I feel like I've been given this message from since I was very young that my whole life is just about relationship work. Mm-hmm. And if for some reason I've managed to keep myself financially alive and all that, I mean, I don't have much money, but I'm like, I don't want for anything. And so it's like, can we be here just to focus on certain things?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. 100%. Like, some of us come down with a mission. Others, you know, that you have a rest life. Some people come down just to rest. They're like, okay, I've done a lot in the last lifetime. Let's come down and have an easy one, an easy life. You know, I have an example of this for my own son because he's 17, right? And when I went to a meditation type workshop, and one of the things was life path numbers. I don't know if you guys have done that, but life path numbers. So I did mine, but then I asked about my son, and this was years ago. And the person told me that he had a past life where he worked very, very, very hard. And that in this life, he has said that he is coming back and not going to work as hard, but get this little point. He's going to make a lot of money. Sure enough, wow. He's at 17, and that is the exact path he is going towards. He says it himself. He's like, I'm not going to work very hard, but I'm going to make a ton of money. And I am blown away. But as you can see, like, you know, there's different types of lives that we come down to do. Some of them, we're going to work, and we're going to work hard, and we're going to learn lots of things. And then we need a break. And you don't have to take a break by coming down. But for some reason, sometimes that's what our soul wants. It's like, I'm just going to come down and take it easy. Take a vacation down there for a while, you know.
Go into an easy family, have an easy life, like not a lot of, you know, awfulness. But it does beg the question of these awful, awful people that live amongst us. And like, what are they doing here? Are they like brand new souls? I mean, that's where I get like the violence and the craziness that people inflict on others. And like, why do those people exist among us, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And they're just, you know, and then we're all on a different level too. And we can't judge other people who are not on the same level as we are. And we just have to understand that they're all on different life paths. Mm-hmm. Like, we've already been down that road. Believe it or not, we've already done the murdering. We've already done the violence. We've already learned from that. And that's why we're back and not doing it now. Somebody once asked me, why do you think murdering is wrong? Because you've already done it. Mm. You know? So that's just everybody's course.
Interesting. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, wow. If you had any other, like, what do you think out of all the misconceptions about soulmates, what do you think is like probably the one that is the most well-known or the biggest one?
Well, yeah. Like the whole entire discussion was about
everything.
Like the romantic, romantic aspect of the soulmate and how a soulmate is like that's the other thing. A soulmate doesn't have to be your perfect match and love all the things you love and do all the things you do. Like, it doesn't have to be like a soul split in two ways and that's like your twin, all right? It's somebody who's there to complement you and to help you and vice versa. So I think that's the other thing, that everybody thinks their soulmate is the one that's like perfect, like glue, but it can be, obviously. This is not like 100%. It always can be. Right. But it's usually somebody who's complimenting you and helping you through life. So that is the biggest one.
You mentioned earlier this idea about one of the kind of problems or issues is that people are on this quest for a soulmate, as I was literally writing a book about trying to find the one, right? Like this idea, there's a whole bunch of stuff in there that's misconceptions. The one, find, I mean, maybe you can debunk some of that for us.
Yes. So it's timing. It's all timing. And as much as we hate it, it's like we decided when we were going to meet these people in our lives. Okay. We decided all of this. So there's a lot of patience involved and there's a lot of growth involved before we meet the certain people. Like we talked about, like, you know, if we have two people, maybe one was meant to teach us something so that when we meet the other one, we're in a better state to be with that person. So that's the thing. If you haven't found your soulmate, don't give up. Just know and trust that your timing is going to come, but you're going to have to go through some challenges, whether that's with other people or, you know, things in your life like work or family or whatever, or health or anything like that. But when the time is right, that person will come into your life and it will be just like they always say, at a time that you are like hardly looking, you're not paying attention, out of nowhere, here they are. And you know, the people who do find their soulmate, like because they were looking, it's harder when things don't go the way that they had assumed they would go, you know, because it's almost as if they are trying so hard that they're picking the soulmate. Mm-hmm. Instead of letting destiny bring the soulmate.
Well, what do you think of things like Love is Blind? Do you think that's an avenue or do you think it's just like...
Everything's an avenue. Mm-hmm. You never know. Mm-hmm. Like for some, sure. Because then it's like, oh, you have no idea like who that person is and you learn who they are and then you see them and it's like, oh, but... You know, the universe works in so many crazy ways that, yeah, sure. For some people, that might have been their way. Other people, not so much.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, maybe there's a soul contract, right? Where it's like, I'm going to show up on a reality dating show and you're going to show up on the reality dating show.
And we're going to get together and it's going to be awesome.
It's going to be great. Exactly. Exactly. Wow. Well, this has been a lovely conversation. Really appreciate you being here today with us. Tell us a little bit more about what's on your horizon these days. What's next for you? How can our listeners get in touch with you? Basically, I think people are going to listen to this episode and be like, oh, I want to talk to Marcy. I want to know what she's up to. Tell us a little bit about what that looks like.
I love talking to people. So if anybody even has any questions or just wants to like talk over things, yes, just hit me up. You can go to intuitiveclarityhypnosis.com and, you know, there's a contact button. There's tons of articles about past lives, soulmates, life purpose, all that good stuff. And so I am actually working on a little package where it's going to have a self-hypnosis guide in there and audio so that people can get in touch with some of their soul connections, past lives and current, and even one where it will help somebody visualize and feel their future soulmate. So that's going to be a whole package along with some like worksheets and journal prompts and all that good stuff. So if somebody really wants to dive into understanding the people and the relationships they've had in the past and into the future, it will really help them out. So that's coming up.
Wait, tell us about what a future soulmate is, meaning that somebody who's going to come into your life that you haven't yet met, but you have some type of a soul contract with?
Yes. So then like you go into the hypnosis and you start asking the questions to your higher self, your spirit guides, like, what am I missing from the relationships that I've had that are possibly coming up in the future? And it's amazing, the visualizations, the feelings, and the insight that they get about certain qualities they've never been able to find in someone, and then being able to materialize those in your like imagination, and that you walk away with, oh, that might be like in my future. And of course, there's always free will. So everyone has total control over anything that happens in their life. Even, you know, you go to a psychic, they tell you something, you have free will to change that. That doesn't mean 100% it's going to happen. Even with hypnosis, if you have something and you do the future progression, 100% you can change that free will. But with that type, you can walk away with some of the positives that you need in your life to advance it, that when you walk out the door and you meet people, new people, even people from the past that may show up again, you can be like, wait a minute, that was something I was supposed to be finding. And it's uncanny how that just transpires over time. Like when you find that person that was maybe, you know, in that experience and say, wow, okay, I already knew this person was coming into my life and here is that person now. It's amazing.
Wow. But can you do hypnosis on people over like Zoom, or do you need to do it like in person? You can. Okay. So people can work with you from a distance.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I use Zoom all the time. All they need is like maybe some headphones, laying in bed, definitely not sitting. We don't want anybody falling over on the floor. Yeah. But a recliner works, but then having their like phone or computer like propped up and plugged in. And as long as I can see their face and their chest it works. That's half of my sessions are online, half are in person. So yeah, it's very effective in both ways.
Yeah. I just want to again talk about that. I'm listening to the book. Well, Corey is too now, The Light Between Us, but she's a medium and she does everything online or Zoom.
Yeah.
And she said it actually helps her to be more clear, you know, like
really.
Huh. Yeah, like focused and
like
centered.
Less distractions, I think.
Yeah, she was saying. Oh, yes. Yeah. I can see that.
But things coming through stronger and, you know.
Yeah. You know, and mediumship is different because there's a lot of energy going on. Like I'm having a session tomorrow with a man who's bringing his wife in to observe. And that is perfectly fine because the energy is not really being transmuted between me and the person. Uh-huh. But with mediumship or psychic or anything like that, there's a lot of energy exchange.
Right, that you don't want somebody else's.
Distractions, yeah, yeah.
Well, so one follow-up question on that. So with the hypnosis and stuff, so you're not a psychic or a medium. So when the person comes in, you can't say, or you probably do have some of that ability, but you don't say, this is what I'm seeing for you and around you. You're like getting them to tap into their own, you're leading them somewhere so that they can see.
So yes. So that is true. I always say it's always better to get the answers from yourself than from someone else. So I do lead, but I do have pretty, pretty heavy intuitive skills. So when I'm guiding, that's where my intuition and my spirit guides and spiritual, you know, team come in to help me know where to go with them. So it's both. I'm just not.
It's all interconnected. Yeah.
Right.
That's cool. They help you ask the right questions and lead the.
Yes.
But the person is still doing the work.
Yep. Sometimes I even ask questions where I already know what the answer is, but I ask it for the person though.
Right.
The person needs to hear what the answer is.
Right,
yes.
Exactly. Oh, that's fascinating. Oh my goodness. Marcy, it has been so fun to talk to you today.
Yes.
How interesting. I know our listeners are going to absolutely love this. And so again, thank you so much for being on. And to all of our listeners out there, until our next episode, go out there and rock those relationships. If you liked what you heard, check out our show notes for resources from today's episode. Make sure to follow us on Facebook and Instagram under Rock That Relationship and go to our website at rockthatrelationship.com for updated episodes and more great information.
Thanks for listening. Now go rock those relationships.